thank you that we can just come to you as we are. And you are the God who speaks. You don't just speak, you meet us. And every meeting with you is being touched by your goodness, filled with your presence, and changed so that we are more like Jesus. Thank you for blessing us so beautifully. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now the passage for this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. We've been looking at the passage from 14 onwards in the studies that we have done. So in this passage, it begins by saying, now to him.
Is the green light on?
It's red.
Oh. Try again. Once it's green, we're good to go.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Now to him who by the power that worked within us is able to do far beyond what we can ask or think. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to every generation forever and ever. Now this is one of the beautiful ways in which Paul is praying for the Ephesian church. Okay? The Ephesian church, you need to realize, was a big church at that time. This is the church where St. John was there. This is the church where Timothy was the pastor. A young man, but called to be the pastor. Imagine, Timothy is this young guy, and in his church is John the Apostle sitting there. Okay? And Mary, the mother of Jesus, is sitting there. Okay? And Paul comes off and on. But this was a church that knew what it is to really appreciate how God is working in everybody. See? So that the older leaders of the church could come and enable Timothy to be the bishop or the pastor of this church. So this is the Ephesian church to which Paul is speaking. And so he's saying, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father in heaven, in whom the whole, the family of earth is joined together. And it is his prayer. What is his prayer? His prayer is that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your innermost being, that you may know the length, the height, the depth, and the breadth of the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So Paul's prayer is that the church will be so full of the love of God, that it will be a church that, you know, the mind is blown away by how great God's love is. See? This is a church where God is fully present. And it is like when Jesus walked on earth, God was fully present in him. Like that, the church is called to be the body of Christ, where God is fully present. See, that is his prayer. And when he finishes that prayer, he begins by saying, now to him who is able to do far beyond what you can ask or think. Well, you know, every word there is a promise almost. Now reminds us of the name of God. Who is God? God is I am that I am. You remember how he revealed himself? He's the God of the present. He's the God who reveals in the book of Revelation, saying, you know, the God who is, who was, and who is to come. What comes first? The God who is. He's here. He's here right now. He's here with you. You see? And so Paul is reminding us, this is not just a God of history, not just a God of the past. This is not just God who did these things in Jesus' time, or in Paul's time, or John's time. He's here now, in Haim's time, in Alaska time, he's here. Okay? Now to him, who by the power at work within you, is able to do. See, he's saying, there is a power of God that is at work within us. So when we look at this, what we need to realize is the way in which when Jesus came, what was his first message? His message was simply, the kingdom of God has come. And how did the kingdom manifest or show itself? Jesus doesn't need to do anything. He's just there and the demons say, we know who you are. You see? They tremble at his presence. They know he has come to destroy them. You see? And it doesn't matter what the disease. Jesus heals all diseases. He even raises the dead, cleanses the leper, makes the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see. Everything. And what were these? These were not just demonstration that he's the Messiah. These were signs that the kingdom of God has invaded earth. Okay? It's not yet full. It's not yet complete. But it has begun. It has been inaugurated. See? So this is what has been very clearly Jesus brought, saying, the kingdom has come. The kingdom has begun. How? In the person of Jesus. A kingdom needs a king, and the king is here. See? Now, the king is here, right now, in our midst. So, we've looked at the evening teachings on how, says the reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the works of the devil. So there is a way in which Jesus has come and begun the work of destruction against all that is evil, that is sinful, that is diseased, that is painful, that causes death. The victory has already begun. So we also began, you know, one of our times we said, we kept saying, God is good. God is good. And so what is it that Jesus came to say? When he said, the kingdom of God has come, he said, it is a beginning of the end of all that causes pain, sickness, and death. Why did the devil come? You know, he came so that he might rob, destroy, and kill. Why did Jesus come? He came that you might have life and have it abundantly. So this is what the goodness of God does. The goodness of God triumphs over evil. And so what is our hope about heaven? Heaven is the place where, in the book of Revelation, it says, there will be no more pain. No more sickness, no more tears, no more suffering, no more death. I will be your God and you will be my people. See, that's heaven. So it is the power of God's goodness overcoming what is evil. It is meant for us to begin to taste it now. Not just when I die and get to heaven. The kingdom has been inaugurated. And so, even though, you know, we may pray in all kinds of ways, sometimes healing happens, sometimes it doesn't, see? But every time there is a healing, every time there is a miracle, it is a sign saying the kingdom has come. It is a sign of what is yet to come, more to come. So that is why the theme of our talks have been that there is more to come. The cross and the resurrection and the Pentecost is just the inauguration. There is more to come. And that is what Paul is picking up in this blessing. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do beyond what we can ask or think, saying, it's more. It's more than what you can think. It's more than what you can ask. It's beyond your human imagination what God has in store for you. The abundance of God. It is not, you know, when Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly, the abundance of God is not limited by our prayer. The children's sermon was a good demonstration. See? You might get your stance wrong, you might get your attitude wrong. It doesn't matter. The abundance of God is more. See? The abundance of God. Because he says, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's why in the passage that was read to us from John 14:12, Jesus said, truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. So what is Jesus saying? Saying, I came, I demonstrated to you how the kingdom has been inaugurated. Okay? You want more? He says, there's more coming. See? Greater works than these will you do. See? Whatever you ask the Father and man, I will do it. So, as a church, we need to begin to grasp or take hold of or cash the check that he has given us. You see? That says there is more. More to come. Expect it. Begin to have a vision of victory over disease, over sin, over pain, over suffering, over death. See? Begin to have a vision of victory and say, this is what Jesus has inaugurated. And as somebody who imitates Jesus, follows Jesus, this is the promise. God is now. And he wants to do this abundantly more. So that is the promise that is coming through this passage. So that's why Jesus, for example, he says, when it says, by the power at work within you, you remember Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away. Why did he say it's to your advantage? He's saying, if I go away, you're going to get something more. And what is that more? He said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will be your helper. He will be your comforter, the encourager, the one who will lead into truth, the one who will teach you all the things concerning myself, the one who inspired the word of God will inspire it in you. See? That's what Jesus said. Now, I will send to you the Spirit. So, as we look at this, what we need to see is, take these, you have these three discs with you. When Paul, I told you this is written to the Ephesian church. You know what happened when Paul first went to the Ephesian church? In Acts chapter 19, it tells us, Paul goes there and he sees some believers. You know what's the first question he asks them? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Imagine, this is the first encounter with a few believers in Ephesus, and Paul asks them, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, who's the Holy Spirit? We don't even know who's the Holy Spirit. And then Paul asks them, by what baptism were you baptized? And they said, we were baptized with the baptism of John. What was John's baptism? John's baptism was the baptism of repentance, repenting from your sins, you know, and following God. So that was the baptism in which they were baptized. So Paul tells them, no, and he t- tells them about Jesus and baptizes them in the name of Jesus. So what has Paul done? Paul is taking them from John's baptism, that was just repentance from sin, and taking them into the baptism of Jesus. The baptism of Jesus brings you into the kingdom of God, brings you into this life of victory. And then he just doesn't stop there in Acts 19. It says he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And guess what they did? They began to speak in tongues and prophesy. This is a people who didn't even know who the Holy Spirit is. Okay, when you look at the history of God's people, look what happens. There are people who don't believe in God. Unbelievers, atheists, just don't believe in God. Then you have people who believe in God, but don't believe in Jesus. Like the Jewish people. They believe in the God of the Old Testament, but refuse to accept Jesus. But we can also, just like you cannot believe in God or you cannot believe in Jesus, you can also not believe in the Holy Spirit. You can have the Father, you can have the Son, and not have the Holy Spirit. So Paul, in talking to the Ephesian church, says, have you received the Holy Spirit? And so, as Presbyterians, we confess in the creed, I believe, there are three paragraphs. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We confess it with our mouth, but have you received the Holy Spirit? It's a completely different thing. Because Paul lays hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. And when they receive the Holy Spirit, what is the gift of tongues? Not having the right stance in prayer, it's having the right language in prayer. It's like suddenly you don't know how to pray and now you're praying in a way that you can't even understand. It just flows from you. What is prophecy? Prophecy is the ability to hear the things of God and to proclaim it. And that was what was happening. So, what I want you to do is, the green disc is representative of God the Creator. Okay? The white disc is representative of God the Son, who cleanses us. And the red disc is the disc about God the Holy Spirit, who's like the fire that came at Pentecost. So what I want you to do is, look for yourself and say, what is my understanding or experience of God? Is there an experience of the Father, an experience of the Son, and an experience of the Holy Spirit? How does my, not just belief system, but my experience of God, how balanced is it? Are you truly a person who believes in the Trinity, three persons who are one, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Very often in the church believes in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scriptures, not the Holy Spirit. So ask yourself, so if you were to take these three discs, how would it look? Would it look sort of like this, with a little of the Father, a little of the Holy Spirit, and all of Jesus? Or will it be some of the Father, some of the, and almost nothing of the Spirit? Well, take your discs and play with it a little. Take a moment and say, where am I in my understanding of God? Do I know the Father? Do I know the Son? Do I know the Holy Spirit? This is where the themes, there is no. If you know the Father, he says there is no, there is the Son. I will give you the Son. And you know the Son says it is to your advantage that I go away. There is the Holy Spirit. So, your experience of God is meant to be way more than what you already have. See? So that you, there should be a point at which it should almost be like this. Okay? A balance between all three. You know all of them. You experience all of them. And they are at work within you. So Paul says, now to him who by the power at work within you. You see? This is God at work within you. The Holy Spirit at work within you. You remember the disciples before Pentecost. They were a bunch of scaredy cats sitting in a room. You see? And then the Holy Spirit comes and suddenly, these are the people who are going out and putting their lives out for Jesus Christ. See what happens when the Spirit of God comes and anoints the church of God. And then he says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. The glory of God in the church is like this. Now, in the evening teachings, I've talked to you about how there were 12 people. Before the cross, before the resurrection, Jesus sent them out. Said, go proclaim the kingdom in my name, cast out demons, heal the sick, and they went and did it. And then he added 72 to them. See? That's about 84 people. I don't know how many are seated here. It's like this group. Okay? It's like the size of people. He said, go in my name, heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, take nothing with you. I will provide for you. Wherever you go, speak peace and see what happens. And that's what they did. So to him be glory in the church. Glory is when the presence of God is there. Like the glory abides in the tabernacle, in the temple. How does glory abide in the church today? Not in a cloud. The glory abides in the way we represent God as we go out into the world. And wherever we go, the presence of God goes with us. The power at work within us is operating in the world around us. That is the glory of God in the church. And so in our church at eternity, when we first began, we used to say, every home is a church. Before the 3rd century, or before Constantinople, there were no church buildings. They were only in homes. So I want you to begin to think of your home as a church, where the glory of God abides. Just imagine what it will do to your relationships at home. Okay? You will be in church behavior at in home behavior. Suddenly it's going to shift because God is present there. Every church, every home is a church. Every Christian is a witness because the glory of God is in you. So as we do that, I want you to see the power of that. So when you gather together, let there be worship in your homes. Let me tell you the story of how when people, 2 or 3 people worship together, what it does to the demonic forces. About 10 years ago, we went to a tribe called the Apatani tribe, right in the foothills of the Himalayas in northeastern India. When we first began there, there were about, 500 Christians or less. And within just a period of 3 years, there were 15,000 Christians. So I went to this church, and this church, where it's about 150 people, all of them were less than 3 years old as Christians. Before that, they were worshipping evil spirits and all kinds of things. So there was a big movement of the Holy Spirit that was happening. And then they told me how this church was established. They said, Three people first believed in Jesus Christ. And in this tribe, just for you to know, in the third week of January, they have a festival where they slaughter bulls to appease the evil spirits. Every street corner, they will slaughter bulls. Blood will flow like a river down the streets in the third week of January. Okay? This is the tribe I'm talking about. Three people became Christian, and these three people met in this little tin shack in this place, and they were beating their drums and singing praise to Jesus Christ. And suddenly, there was a mob that came of their own people with machetes, and they were banging and ready to kill them. So these three people said, "Why are you doing this? You know we are part of you, your family. Why are you doing this?" And the tribe people said, about 100 yards away, they used to worship an evil spirit and invoke the evil spirit. That was their god. And they used to make blood sacrifices to that spirit. So for a long time, they did everything and the spirit wouldn't come. And so they said, so they decided to do some extra things. And finally, this evil spirit came. And when the spirit came, it spoke to them and said, "I cannot come here anymore because of those three people who are praising somebody. In his presence, we have no authority to come. So we will not come here anymore." Okay? Just imagine three people worshipping in the name of Jesus Christ stopped an entire tribe's worship of evil spirits. That was the breakthrough for this 150 people church that formed within three years. Okay? And I go into that church. It is not a church that has had any Western influence. Nobody has taught them. Pastoral prayer time, they'll say, "Okay, let's pray together." And the church will just form a circle, hold hands, and say, "Okay, let's pray. Who needs healing?" Anybody who needs healing will duck under the hands and come sit in the center. And the church will start to pray and people will get healed and they will leave. Okay? You're talking of a church that 3 years ago was worshipping evil spirits. Okay? Who taught them? They start to pray, they're praying in tongues. Nobody did anything with them. Okay? The power of God that comes and the glory of God that settles on the church. And so I invite you, you don't have a tin shack, you're in your home. Worship God. It will drive the powers of darkness away. They will say, "We cannot come to Haines because there are too many peoples here worshiping and praising God." That is what, how the glory of God comes upon the church. And so, you know, I want to at this time say, to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far beyond what we can ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to every generation forever and ever. And it's almost time. Can I take a few more minutes? Are you all okay with it? Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah. So, I want to invite today, if you don't know the experience of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite you to stand up wherever you are. I know it's not a Presbyterian thing to do. Okay? But I've done it at Presbytery meetings. I did it at the national gathering. I told people, if you want to receive the Spirit, stand up. You see? And I had three witnesses from this congregation. People stood up because they were hungry for the Spirit. So, there will be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to every generation. You are not just protected by Christ, but Christ is in you. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. And Christ in you is the power of God against all evil. This is the promise. So as you go out from here, I want you to go out knowing you have received the Spirit and the Spirit of God is sending you out. Let every home become a church that drives the demon forces away. But it also says for every generation forever. Now, last night we looked at how Satan particularly loves to pick on the vulnerable and children. And we prayed for that yesterday. And I want you as a church to remember that, the presence of God does not depend upon age. Okay? You remember Samuel? How old was he when he heard God? He couldn't even recognize it. You know, Eli was a big shot in the church. You see? And Eli didn't recognize it until the third time. See? And said, this is God speaking to you. Yeah. So, you remember the little girl who was a slave in the Syrian camp? She told him, if you go there, you will get healed. A little girl God used to bring healing. So remember, God can use anybody. There's another story of how the Holy Spirit came upon an orphanage in India. Okay, in the early 20th century, there was a girls' orphanage there run in a place called Ramabai Mukti Mission. And in that place, suddenly the Spirit of God began to move. Okay. And there is this, they were all sort of 10, 12, 8, sort of younger girls who were there in that. The Spirit of God came down as these children were praying. And then suddenly what happened is, an elder sister saw there was fire on top of a younger sister, and so ran and picked up a bucket of water and poured it over the younger sister. Because she said, there is fire on my little sister. The Holy Spirit came like it did at Pentecost. They saw signs of fire on little children. See? Little children. So the Spirit of God, can come and operate irrespective of age, maturity, whether you're an elder or not, it doesn't matter. If you're open, the Spirit of God can come. So, for example, in our church at Eternity, we have a practice. We want to make sure that the next generation, the littlest one, is blessed in the Spirit. So when a mother gives birth to a baby, we say, don't take the baby home first, bring the baby to the church. So almost all our children, when they're born, the parents bring the baby to the church. We take the baby, put the baby on the altar, bless the baby, speak a word of prophecy to the baby, bless the parents, and give the child back to the parents. And say, bring up this child in the faith. So what are we doing? We are making sure that the next generation is protected, blessed, anointed, that they will be open to the Spirit. That our children, our constant prayer is not one child will wander away from the faith. So when Paul is saying to him who by the power at work within you is able to do far beyond what you can ask or think or even imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to every generation forever and ever. Can you claim, ask for that anointing for yourself, for the church, and for your children and your children's children to every generation? Will you do that?